beware. Contains very offensive language right from the start and throughout, and adult themes.
Previously on Dubious Intent.
How do you get your crush to like you?
How do you get the what?
Your crush.
What crush? I don't have a crush on nobody. Nobody.
Why are you getting so defensive? It's just a question.
It's a question.
They're asking for advice. How do you get a crush to like you?
No, I don't know.
You don't know?
People like me because I'm horsing around. I make them laugh.
Grandma, how do you get your crush to like you back, is what she's saying.
I have no idea.
I would say be friendly, talk to them, because if you just have a crush and you don't really talk to them, but you just love them from afar, you know?
Oh, dear God.
Get close to them and then get them to like you back. I don't know, do some things that make them like you, that they like, that you know they like, if that makes sense, right?
No, it don't make sense.
The Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe. It's time for Dubious Intent to come screaming at you through the interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are. We're glad you've joined us today. Dubious Intent is brought to you by Not Enough Computers. When you want to delay things and, basically make people wait around for you to encode a video, then you should have Not Enough Computers. It's the newest craze in the hipster nation. Check them out at TooFewComputers.com. And don't forget to use the special listener checkout code DI for a discounted discount? That doesn't make sense. I didn't write it. Welcome to Dubious Intent. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from the Too Few Computers free state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
I am so sick of looking at houses already. I don't even, like... And...
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. It is Sunday evening, Adam, and why are you looking at houses on a Sunday evening?
I'm not looking at houses. So are we just going to get right into it, or are we going to
I don't know. I did a perfect intro. I feel like I did an excellent dismount of the intro. Sometimes I'll stumble through it. I didn't. I laughed a little bit, but I for coming up with that off the top of my head, I thought I nailed the intro. I stuck the landing, most importantly, and just like a young Carrie Strubbs, I stuck the landing, looked over to you, Adam, and you're like over there reading the newspaper going, property prices are really shitty this week.
No, I needed a part of the bit is that I'm supposed to say something completely, random and not say, how are you?
So you don't tell people that it's a bit, though.
I was
telling people a bit
for what to
negates the bit.
By the way, mommy and daddy are not supposed to argue. Apparently we argued and it was uncomfortable last episode.
What did we? Yeah, I know. I read that.
I don't know.
What did we argue about?
I don't know. Unless it was when I ribbed you for being an atheist, but that was, that was all in good fun.
Well, you did condemn me to hell, but it's fun, since I don't believe in that, sure, we'll categorize it under fun. So
I don't know what it was. All I know is there's this Facebook post that's all like, oh, it's horrible when mommy and daddy are fighting or something like that. And then I'm like, what? We didn't fight. I thought we had a perfectly jovial show. Like we were totally loving each other. I mean, we didn't hug and kiss or anything, but I mean, it's hard to do that. We're on video. And then Nicole goes, no, parts of it were uncomfortable to listen to. I'm like,
wait,
what?
No, that was that Nicole? I thought that was Christine this time.
I mean, Christina. Yeah. Sorry.
Wow.
I shouldn't. They're not really interchangeable.
They're just interchangeable. Some random women from other shows. I don't know. They all sound alike to me. I don't know what the. Dear goodness. I predict a very Australian heavy show tonight. Yes. Hello.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Artie Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone. Really sad one, this. Alan Young starred in Mr. Ed as Wilbur. Dead. Okay. Bye.
I don't think that's how you do it. It's Wilbur. It's not. You kind of made it sound like Fred Flintstone was shouting Wilbur instead of Wilma. Like, Wilbur! Like that. Now, that would have been a show I would have watched. But. Yes, absolutely. Alan Young died this week, Adam. Isn't that sad?
It's really sad. I'm a little teary over here. Actually, let's see what he looked like today. Because I know...
Yeah, it's really important because you only grieve for people that look good.
No, that's not true. I just... I don't think he did much after Mr. Ed. Now, I don't know that for a fact.
Yeah.
I can't really... But I've never seen something and gone, oh, that's the guy from Mr. Ed.
I don't know that you would, though. Because you're not 100. It's like you saw Mr. Ed in reruns.
I did, yeah.
And I don't think that, because I also saw it in reruns, but I don't think my brain processed, I realized that I was watching a rerun, but I don't think that my young brain would have recognized that guy on the street, because he would have been 20 years older at that time. And I don't know that I would have put that together, like, oh, reruns mean they're a lot younger. You know what I'm saying? We didn't have the internet widespread back then, so you couldn't, like, you weren't used to, like, seeing stars at different ages. You know what I'm saying? I feel like we were more shocked back those days. That's the
really,
big problem. That's the problem with Gen X, really, is that they're easily shocked.
He did some voice work in some Mickey Mouse Works cartoon since 99.
Yeah, we've already bored ourselves with this topic. But anyway, congratulations, RT Cruiser, you're entered into the contest. You were looking at houses, so I guess when is the drop dead date? When
oh
do
God.
You have to leave the mouse infested villa?
This is horrible. So our contract is up on June 30th. But we're going on a trip and we're leaving on the 30th.
Right.
So we need about a week to have the house cleaned and like the carpets, because our contract says we have to have the carpets professionally cleaned.
Yeah, Stanley Stewart. It's going to take them like an hour to come in and do your carpets.
Well, I also want to have a professional cleaner come in because I don't want to do any of the cleaning work.
That will take them a day.
And anyway, regardless.
You don't need a week, Adam. I'm saying you can do this in a day and a half.
And no matter what anyone thinks, the housing market around here, especially for rentals, is booming, and houses don't stay on the market very long. So we started looking about 2 or 3 weeks ago because we thought we want to get a jump on this. We really want to, you know, have a place to live. But it's frantic for me because I have really high fairly high standards. I don't want to say that because someone will like look at photos of my house and go, "Ew, you think that's high standards?" But anyway, regardless. You know, want an open.
Well, you clearly are an animal lover, and you need room for all of your pets, like Sydney and the mice. It's like,
yeah. So I want an open floor plan. I really would like a big kitchen. I need a formal dining room and a breakfast nook because I have my brother is giving me this very large dining table that my father built, and I already have a round breakfast table that my dad also built. And I'm trying to keep both of those because my dad is no longer with us and they have sentimental value.
Yes.
And I want, you know, open spaces, airy, you know, vaulted ceilings would be nice. I want at least 3 bedrooms. I need a room for the studio.
Of course.
We have a second bed, so we need a bedroom for that.
Right.
The master bedroom needs to have a bathroom with double sinks and a walk-in closet.
I feel like I'm going over your rider or something here. It's just
I would like a soaker tub with jets, if at all possible. We have to have a fenced-in backyard. Anyway, so we're doing all this looking.
Yes.
And we keep getting told, well, you know, you're really going to have to consider signing a contract and paying rent early. Nobody with a house available today is going to rent it to you and not have you start paying rent until like June 25th. We were told like the maximum they will let it sit empty with a contract with is about 2 weeks. So we're like, okay, so we'll start looking. So then it's a pain in the butt. So we go look at this house and it's perfect location. I love my boyfriend.
No.
He needs to be within like, I swear to God, if we could find a house in the parking lot of where he works, he would be happy.
Yeah.
So we're a little bit limited, although he'll say, oh, well, if it's a perfect house, you know, he's like, I know we may not find anything in as good a location as blah, blah, blah. But, you know, in his heart.
Yeah.
See, I have this fear that if we find a nice house, but it's farther away.
Yeah.
For the next year or two or three that we're in this house, he's going to hate my guts. He's going to wake up every morning and go, I have to drive all these miles to work.
Don't you?
Because Adam,
don't you both work in the same location?
No, we work like 20 miles apart from each other.
Okay.
It's like, and I don't mind driving. So the location that we're in now is close to his work.
Right.
But I drive like 15, 20, 25 minutes to work every day. It's fine. I don't mind. But anyway, so we look at this one house and it the realtor was so rude. Mark called him on Friday and he says, well, we're not looking to move in. Mark said, we're not looking to move in until around the 20th of June.
Right.
And the guy goes, oh, well, I have someone interested. If you guys want to just drive by and look in the windows, that's fine. He's a realtor. And he's like, and yeah, he's like, and then if I,
yeah, they don't make realtors work off commission and they don't make commission off rental houses. They kind of do it as like a courtesy sometimes.
This realtor only does rentals is what I found out. And he didn't want to show it to us because he already had someone interested and he wanted to rent it before the 15th or 20th of June. So it's just been night. We finally go to that one. He's already got a thing in. The living room was tiny, so I hate it. But it's really nice. It's brand new almost, like a couple of years old. It has those really nice arched doorways and everything. But the living room is tiny.
Oh, this the mice, like the but the tiniest. Mice are going to love that.
And then we look at another one today, and it's nice. It's really nice. And it's big, and it has hardwood floors, and it has the appliances.
Let me use my divine divination skills here and say that you're going to now say, the one that's bigger, the one that you like, is further away from Mitten's job.
It is so much further away.
And so it's a no-go.
It's not a no-go. He said he would consider it, but I think it's a risk.
Like how far are we talking? Like a morning commute would be what in minutes for him?
His morning commute would be like between 20 and 30 minutes. And right now his commute is 5.
And your commute would be?
My commute would go to 5. Yeah, it would be a reversal.
Right.
And then we look at another one and it's nice and it's in a good location and the living room's big and it meets a lot of our criteria. Except there's no place for either of the dining tables.
I feel like this is an episode of that really shitty property show where it's just like going, we've selected 3 locations. Will they choose the one that is closest to Adam's work but needs a little bit of work? Or will they choose the modern cityscape that is close to Mitten's house but has a tiny living room?
That's like every episode of House Hunters.
I know, that's the one. That's the shitty show. But it's like, all I need is for you to go and open your front door with a camera crew and act surprised at somebody standing there.
So this last one that we looked at could fit all of the check boxes.
Yes.
Except there's no spot for my dining tables, which is a problem. But the landlord is just a guy, a family who owns a couple of houses in the area and rents them out. And I'm really gun shy about working with just a person. Because if you have maintenance issues or anything like that, it's not a company. I want like an established real estate company that's managing a property. And he's doing it. So I'm really scared about that one. Like, I don't know. So we're just, it is just a nightmare.
See,
we still
I was
have
never scared about it because I've owned 4 houses and then I've rented a couple. And it's like the houses that I rented, I never cared because I was so used to fixing things on my own anyway. It's just like if something broke in the house, other than like, you know, the air conditioner exploding or whatever. But we had a, you know, he was self-landlording, whatever, but he had a maintenance company for the appliances, which is all I cared about. It was just like if the washing machine explodes, I want a electrician person to come out and do something. But if it's just something stupid like a leaky faucet or like whatever, I'll fix that myself. I'm fine with fixing those things.
Well, I've managed a property myself. I managed Maddie and my house with him. We rented that out for 5 years.
Oh my God! No, wait, Cyclone in the chat room is bringing up possibly the most important criteria for looking at your house. How far away from your nemesis, the Wendy's drive-through, will this new place be?
Well, none of them are near a Wendy's.
Okay.
But they've managed to put every Wendy's in this area somewhere where no one lives. No matter which, we have like 5 Wendy's in the area near me and they're all like 20 minutes away. It doesn't matter. But so I'm just, this is the last thing I'm going to say on it this episode. And I probably said it last episode.
Yes.
But it is like Russian roulette.
Oh, wow. Wait, hold on. It's like, don't tell us what it's like, even though you did, but don't. Let's just get this out of the way real quick.
Yeah. Hi, guys. I'm Auntie Grizza for the Celebrity Death Phone. Actress Madeleine LeBeau, dead at 92. She was the last surviving cast member from Casablanca. Okay. Bye.
I don't know. Yes? No?
Sure.
All right. Absolutely. All right. So, Adam, what was it?
It's like Russian roulette,
Russian roulette.
But, or some kind of Vegas gambling game because... Do you Wait until you find the perfect house, both of you love it, and all the cards have fallen into place.
Mm-hmm.
Or, because if you do that, you're risking not finding that place, getting 2 weeks from when you have to move out and having nowhere to live.
Right.
Or do you like, okay, well, this meets enough of our check boxes. We really need to sign a contract, so we're just going to go ahead and do this one and then risk being unhappy for a year. Or, you know, whatever.
As much as you're going through here, I would just buy a new house or buy a house.
Well, and I hate that too, because people are like, I don't know why you're renting. You're just throwing money down the toilet.
No, but this isn't throwing money away, but you clearly, here's the thing. I rent an apartment myself, right? It's because I don't know that I want to buy property up here yet because I haven't decided. It's like, I feel like just now, like being up here for 4 years, I now understand the area enough that I know where I would want to buy a house if I was going to, right? So it's like over the next year, I have to decide whether I want to stay up here. And if so, then I'll probably go ahead and buy a house. So it's like, I'm all for renting. Renting fulfills a useful purpose and whatnot. But you seem to have like a very specific set of criteria. No. A. B, you seem to have a very, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not like you're a person that likes to move every year, right? You want to stay in a place, right?
No, it's yes, because it's really a struggle to move. I make enough money now and am old enough now that I do not want to rent a U-Haul and move myself.
Okay, great. So but what I'm trying to say is
expense.
You work for the largest retail company on the planet. You probably will retire at that company.
I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying, are you certainly, for the next 5 to 10 years, you're probably going to be there?
Yeah, probably.
So I don't understand why as much money as you throw out for first, last, and all that stuff like that, and to have to go with the immediacy factor of like waiting for, here's the one thing. I guarantee you that if you go and made an offer on a house today and you said, well, we can't close until after we come back from our trip in June, it's like, yeah, that's normal. That's normal to have a 30-day closing or a 45-day closing or whatnot from the time that you get your offer accepted. But it's just one of those things. It's like you can probably, and if you're going to stay there, then you should. I'm not saying you have to do it this time, but it's like you should absolutely think about that because we
are considering it, but
then you won't have to deal with moving. So then you can find the right location. And if the house isn't exactly what you want, you can make the house exactly what you want. It's like once you find the location that you like, and this is the place that you want to live, and this is a place that you can see yourself being happy, like let's say 10 minutes from both of your work or something like that. Then it's kind of like, and it's a cute little neighborhood and it's got everything you want. And it's close to the Whataburger and it's, you know, whatever. Then, yeah, absolutely. Then you buy the house. Say yes to the dress, Adam, is what I'm trying to say. If I can quote another reality show or another contestant show, I guess it's not a reality show. It's a contestant show. Hey, you know what? You're doing a new podcast about this porn reality competition show. But before we talk about that, I'm going to move this.
Before we talk about that, a word from our sponsors.
No, I want to just throw in some stuff that I did here really quick. I had a very busy week in the city, Adam. Toppy Smelly's not here, so he can't make fun of me about going into New York. But had tickets to the coronation of the RuPaul's Drag Race.
I'm glad you finished that sentence. I had tickets to the crowning.
To the crowning. I did. I have tickets to the crowning. So what happens, for those of you who don't know, is that when they do these reality contests, sometimes they fake things. I know. It's shocking, isn't it? So what aired on TV, the finale of RuPaul's Drag Race, where they actually crowned the winner of the show and you got to see her go out and like give her, you know, her little speech and whatever. They filmed all three contestants winning. So it's like, so that the people watching the show wouldn't know ahead of time who had won and everything. So you don't find out, you know, it's not public as to who wins. Now, here's the thing, because they do video recaps and stuff that they put on YouTube and they're done by Logo, and the one came out the day after the finale and it was, you know, one of the season 8 queens talking about who won, and there was no possible way she could, because she was in New York that night, so there's no possible way she could have flown back to LA and done that interview. So I was like, they all knew, the queens all knew ahead of time who won. I guarantee you they already knew who won because it was just, she had already recorded that after show. Anyway, for whatever reason, reality TV likes to play things as if they're not real.
So on Amazing Race, they, you know, they record three endings with each of them running up to the...
But what I'm saying is because there's not an audience there. Right. In other words, the only reason they film all three of them winning is because there's an audience present, right? And then that audience can go and tweet out, oh, we just saw, you know, who won, and they would know it ahead of time. Not that I would matter anyway. Anyway, it's not important. I'm so far off the track, Adam, but I went into New York City to see the crown. Oh, that's what I wanted to say. So that was already recorded, the winning, you know, the finale was already recorded and it was going to air on Logo. But then what they do in New York is they have a big, huge crowning ceremony where they have the queens there and you watch the episode, and then the actual winner comes out and gets the crown and does, you know, a more kind of a thing. Anyway, what the hell? We're getting yelled at by Auntie Vera Charles in the chat room, and I'm not really sure who it was. Alan Young.
I did a Google search of what he was in other than Mr. Ed, and I was about to read it, and Daniel stopped me. I'm not an ignoramus.
He's in a lot of things. It's great.
I know how to use the internet, Auntie Vera.
Do you know how to use the Bluetooth, though? That's the important part.
I had a whole list in front of me. Do you want me to read it?
No, it's not important. Wow, we are so far off the track. So I went into New York to see this thing. And when they filmed the finale out in L.A., Batanz is always complaining about it being like this six-hour-long process or whatever. But let me say this. At least they get to sit down. I had to stand in this club for almost 3 hours, like wedged in like a sardine, just like standing for 3 hours. And when you're 100 years old like me, that's taxing after a while. It's like, you know, it's like your knees hurt and it's just like, oh, dear God, I'm standing. I just want to go sit down. But so I went into New York just to see that thing.
Now, they could put in chairs. And then you promptly posted a photo of the winner in the GroupMe that we have, informing everyone of who had won before they watched the show.
That is both true and false at the same time. Oh, hold on just 1 second here. I'll get right back to that. Yes, hello, caller.
Yeah, hi guys. RT Cruiser for the Celebrity Deathbone, reporter and journalist, Morley Safer, dead at 84. Was on 60 Minutes for nearly 50 years.
Wow.
Okay, bye.
Was there an investigation? That's what we were. Yes, indeed. Morley Safer.
You know, Morley Safer died.
You know, he retired about 2 days before he died.
All right, well, that's, quit this. This is the only reason I live for my job. There's a joke in
literally,
there.
Yeah. He literally retired 2 or 3 days. It might have been a little bit longer than that, but they announced his retirement like a few days before he died.
There we go. So, so this, it's true and it's false that I spoiled the ending for some people, because what I was going to tell you, let me back up just a little bit. We left the recording, you know, the event ended at about like 10:30 or 11. And although New York is the city that never sleeps, the trains running back to Connecticut do at a certain time. And so during the weekday, you pretty much have to make one of two trains to get back to Connecticut. Otherwise, you're stuck there until the morning. So we were trying desperately to make it to the, you know, a specific train that was going to get us back into Connecticut at like 2 a.m. in the morning. So it's like we were trying to hit the midnight train. Midnight train to Georgia. So we made it, but in order to do that, we had to, you know, pretty much haul ass through Grand Central and get to the... Anyway, we made it to the train, and as we're...
Who went with you?
My friend Franklin went with me. Okay. And so on our way back, I was streaming the Drag Race recap AfterBuzz TV show. I was watching that, and I was chatting with them and watching them on YouTube. And after that, I was just like, oh, that's right. No, before I started watching them, I was like, oh, you know what? It's after time. It's after 10 o'clock on the West Coast. I can now post this picture of the winner. And I posted the picture of the winner in our little GroupMe discussion there. And then I realized that, A, I had done my math wrong. It was an hour early. It was 9 o'clock on the East Coast. I mean, on the West Coast, or 9:30 on the West Coast, not 10:30. And the second thing was that Taylor doesn't have Logo, and he downloads the episodes the next day and watches them. So I pretty much spoiled the winner for all the people in the chat room, except for the one East Coast person that I had been talking to. I thought that I had done my math right, but I didn't.
I didn't even watch RuPaul's Drag Race, and I'll tell you something. I have a theory about myself, and the theory is that whoever I don't want to win in any reality competition is always the one who wins.
Yeah.
And I think my point is proven because even though I don't watch RuPaul's Drag Race, I didn't like Bob the Builder's name.
Bob the Drag
Queen.
And
so I was like, I do not want that drag queen to win because I don't like the name Bob the Builder for a drag queen.
His name is Bob the Drag Queen.
And I think it's tongue-in-cheek, and I think you need to have a real drag queen name.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Some...
God knows, Adam, you wouldn't want to have a punny drag name. Do you know that you're talking about an art form where people are named Alaska Thunderfuck 5000? People are named Pearl. People are named Max. People are named Derek Barry. It's just like, drag names are all over the fucking road. In fact, Katya Zemelosha and Trixie Mattel were talking about like some of the greatest drag names on their most recent YouTube show, which I think they're the one that they like was Lisa Convertible, which
now that's good. See, Lisa is a female name. Lisa
so,
Convertible.
But not
is
every
a...
drag name has to be that way. Like Alyssa Edwards isn't there's no joke in there. There's no.
No, but Alyssa is a female name. You are trying to portray a female as a drag. Anyway,
oh, is it Lisa Newcar? So, oh, thank you, Yas Mamadou. It's Lisa. And there's an Australian drag queen named Karen from Finance.
So anyway, I'm sure Bob the Builder is a great drag queen, and I'm sure she deserved to win, but I did not want her to win, and she won. On Survivor. I don't know if we should spoil it, so I won't.
No, we can go ahead and spoil Survivor. On Survivor, Sia won. Where the fuck did Sia come from? She was like John McCain at a town hall meeting, whatever. She just like wandering around. Something is like, oh, look, there's Sia just handing out money for no apparent reason. So
look, if Sia wants to give me $50,000. By all means, she can run up in the middle of the next.
No,
Pride
it was somewhat of a shock ending. I think everyone thought that Aubrey was going to win. I think everyone thought that once the final three were picked, that Aubrey definitely had it.
I really wanted Ty to win, and I'm going to tell you, Ty. I don't care what anyone says. He did not win because he was not able to speak clearly about why he should have won. He made the biggest moves. He, in front of the entire tribal council.
Yes.
Said, no, I will not give you my idol, and blindsided Jason or whatever the guy's name is in front of everyone. That was the biggest move all season.
Yes. I can tell you. No, wait, here's the thing, Adam. If Ty, because Ty made a statement, because what the jury kept hammering him with was, why did you betray your alliance? Why did you betray your alliance? And his answer was actually a really good answer, which was just like, I felt threatened because you guys were so bro-y with each other, like you're so like into sports and like being really aggressive and stuff like that, and that's just not me, and that made me uncomfortable. I don't think there's a gay man on the planet that can't identify immediately with what he's saying. He's like, you just feel like you're out of place in this group of people. It's like nothing, nobody's actually physically come for me, nobody's like really made an aggressive move at me, but this group right here is so outside of me, outside of my comfort zone, that I just am really super uncomfortable in this group of testosterone laden sports people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think there's a gay man on the planet that couldn't understand exactly. And I think every gay person watching him give that speech was like, oh yeah, well that makes sense. And, but the jury was made up of a whole bunch of straight people who didn't get that. And so I think they're still good. You have to remember there's two huge fucking egos, Scott and the bounty hunter guy that, basically Ty.
Oh, that's Jason. Scott and Jason.
Okay. Ty screwed over Scott and Jason, and there's no possible way that they weren't behind the scenes swaying other people away from Ty. And it's just kind of like one of those things where it's like people were looking up to Scott because he was an NBA player, and you know they were attributing him a lot more, you know, value than he should have had. But they you know, jury members sway each other, and it's like that's part of the new power that they gave this time. Anyway, this is not the Survivor recap show, Adam.
Join us next week as we do a post-show interview with Sydney.
So here's the thing. So I went and saw the drag queen thing, and it was great.
Yes.
It was fun. A good night was had by all. We ran back home. But I knew I had to go back to New York on Saturday. Just yesterday, because the Robs were in town. Rob 1 and Rob 2.
I think you might as well move to New York.
Were in town. So I was like, hey, yeah, we'll get together. We'll do some stuff. By the way, your camera and your machine is just completely fucked at this point in time. It's just like you sound like you're on a CB radio. It's just like, so I just want to let you know that. I don't know if maybe Mittens is streaming something Or maybe you're watching another episode of The Sex Factor. Oh, wait, we're not talking about that yet.
I had to prepare.
That's right. So anyway, so I went in to see The Robs real quick. I went in to see The Robs, and there's, you know, when you go to New York, a lot of times when people are like, hey, what do you want to do? It's like, well, it's New York, right? There's a million things to do. I don't know. What is it you want to do? And so some of my standby things that I like to do is there's a comedy show called Comedy Sports that a friend of a friend is on the cast of, and they're in, you know, he and his husband are intimately involved with the running of the group. And it's a really good show. So if you're ever in New York City, they're called Comedy Sports. It's spelled with a Z. It's an improv show. It's kind of like Whose Line Is It Anyway on TV, where they have two teams of improv people and they play games. And then that's where the sports part comes in, is they compete for points. You know, so each team plays a little games. Oh, maybe it's me, because now I'm getting some sketchy internet stuff here. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm completely off topic here. So Comedy Sports, I've been to many times, and it's a great show, and it's also a very cheap show, right? It's only $20 for the ticket, and then there's a two item minimum inside the club. So The Robs were like, well, we may have some other friends with us, so we don't know how many tickets to get yet, and we won't know. And I was like, well, just go ahead and buy the tickets. Here's their website. Just go ahead and buy the tickets, and I'll just pay you cash for mine. So they were trying to buy the tickets, and they messaged me the morning of the Saturday, and they're like, well, it's not working here. We can't buy the tickets online. And I was like, oh, okay, let me just do it from here. And so I went over, and there was just the three of us going to go there. And one of the ticket options they had, Adam, was the show plus two items. In other words, you go ahead and prepay for your two items. Right.
Okay.
So you go in, and it's like, because there's, you can get drinks, but you could also get sodas or like cheese sticks or something. So basically there's a two item minimum for the show. But you can go ahead and prepay for that. So instead of paying $20 for tickets, you pay $35 for the ticket. So you've pre-bought your two items for $7 a piece. Right. And beers are, you know, $7 a piece. So I figured, oh, I'm going to drink two beers anyway. Yeah. We'll just, so there you go. Makes it easy. So I went ahead and I bought three of those, you know, the ticket plus the two items. And we went about our way, got into New York. We got over to the theater. We got seated in the theater. And the person that sat us was like, we've changed it from a two item minimum to just a single item. You just have to buy a single item, even though it says two items here and wherever. I'm like, yeah, but our tickets like already had the, yeah, we don't know what that means.
What? So they weren't gonna honor the ticket? They weren't gonna give you two items?
Right. They're like, well, you don't know what that means, and the lady, you know, the waitress has never seen that before, and so let me go and talk to my manager. And so, and then he comes back a little bit later. He's like, by the way, the cutest boy. Just like, he was so cute. It's just like distractingly cute. But anyway, but he comes back. He's like, you know, I'm sorry. It's like, I don't, you know, none of us here know how to ring that up or don't know what that is, and blah, blah, blah. And so at this point, I was just like, you know what? That's fine. You know, I will just buy an item, and then I'll email them and get a refund on the thing after. I mean, I bought it off your website and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, he was grateful for that, and he left and he walked away.
That's their own website.
I know.
So nice.
But what am I supposed to do at this point in time? It's just, it's like now we only have to buy one drink, and it's not like, whatever, I'll get a refund on it. I know Glenn and Bill, so it's like, I know people that run the club, so it's like, I can pretty much, I'm guaranteed to get my money back from.
I'd be
from
like, do you know who I know? I am friends with Glenn and Bill. You don't want to piss me off. You do not want to F
that
with
is
me
so
right
not
now.
Me. I would never do that. And you would never do that, Adam. So
bring out my two items,
that's
bitch.
Right. Bring me my two items. I demand it. And it's kind of, you know, it had it been a
cheese
place.
Cheese sticks.
Right. Had it
I
been
want
a place.
Cheese sticks.
Had it been a place that only took cash or something, then it would have been one thing. But it's like, you can, you know, you can pay with a credit card there for the two items and everything. So I was like, it doesn't matter. One way or the other, this will resolve itself. It's not like I have to take cash out of my pocket right now and deal with this. I can put it on a card and, you know, deal with it after I get back into Connecticut. So anyway, so we went and said, but here's the problem. Normally this show is amazing. This was the worst show that they have ever done. And I don't want to call somebody out by name, but I'm going to call somebody out by name, because here's the thing. The big part of the show is the referee. The referee, you know, calls the games and then also decides when the games end and when the, you know, and gets the suggestions from the audience. This guy, this Lee, who I've never seen ref before, because there's a lot of the same players that go through. And by the way, Glenn was not performing last night. So it's like my friend that I know was not performing. So I'd seen a couple of the members on the cast before, and I'd seen Tom from Chicago. His younger brother is there. It's a guy that looks exactly like Tom from Chicago, like 10 years ago. Anyway, it's like...
Does he sing boring theme songs by any chance?
He did. He said in the Hamlet musical, he played the ghost of the king. Anyway, as a musical. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Actually, as a rap. So anyway, the thing is, the referee was so bad. His name was Lee. So if you ever go to Comedy Sports and you end up with Ref Lee or Referee Lee, make sure you leave. Because, Adam, at one point in time, they had this skit that was going so bad. It was going so bad. And the actors on stage were looking for any reason to end it. They just kept, you know, giving out the zingers. Because usually, you know, you want to end the scene on a zinger so that, you know, at least you get the applause at the end or whatever. And it's like, so they're like busting their ass trying to get zingers, like leaving the stage and stuff. And this ref won't end the game. He's just sitting there watching them. And I'm just like going, oh my God, you were so bad at your job. And then he goes out and he asks this question. Now he's supposed to get suggestions from the audience, right? You know, like, hey, I need a place, or I need a, you know, someone give me an occupation or something like that, right? You're supposed to just, you know, hit up the audience for your suggestions and stuff like that.
Yeah, give me a type of food.
Right.
Give me
something like that. So he looks right at us and he's like, I need an example of a place that will fit on this stage. And I'm just like, I don't know what you're asking me for.
It's
just
like
a place that will fit on this stage. What is that? So I'm like sitting there looking at him like, I don't know what you're asking me.
I got it.
What?
A chair at a comedy club.
That was actually close to my answer, but Rob, one of the Robs, I think it was Rob One, shouted out, you know, bathroom. So it was like, at least, but later he was like going around like, you know, I need a gerund. It's just like, he was like quizzing people on obscure pieces of language. And he's like,
oh, I know what would fit. The living room of the house I saw today.
See, but that's it. But here's the thing. It's like, but it's just such an odd way to ask that question. Was so anyway. So the show was so bad because the ref was just not. He was just not good, and so it's like the people can only work with what they needed to work with. Anyway, I mean, they had their funny parts. They had their good moments and whatnot. But we groaned more than we laughed in that show. And so it was like,
so you told them, I swear, guys, it has never been like this.
I did. I'm apologizing ever. To them. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. But it's okay, because then we went to go eat. We went to this gossip bar down in Hell's Kitchen. We went to go eat there. We were going to go to a Mexican place, but we didn't make reservations and it was a long waiting line. This is really boring. But the point is we went down to the gossip bar. We had some lovely food there. And then we were going to go to the Eagle. That was the thing. That was they wanted to go to the New York Eagle. So we wanted to go to the New York Eagle, but the Eagle doesn't open until 10, and we had finished with our dinner by like 9. So we went and hung out at Flaming Saddles for a little while, which is right near the place that we were eating. Now, Flaming Saddles, I took some video there. Flaming Saddles
has a country
bar? Yeah, it's the one that has the really hot bartenders that dance on the bars and everything. So I know there's video of the hot bartenders dancing on the bar with the Rob staring at them.
Do they wear cowboy hats?
Yeah, they do. Well, actually, no, they weren't, but they can. But they weren't. It doesn't matter. Wow, I've bored myself with the story. So then we go to the Eagle. We finally get to the Eagle. We get upstairs. Adam.
Yes?
There was no one in the club. It was so dead. It's Saturday
worst
night.
Worst trip to New York City ever.
Saturday
for
night.
The Robs.
In Chicago. I mean, Saturday night in the Eagle. In New York City, right? Dead. Completely fucking dead. And then it turns into 11 o'clock. Dead. It's still dead. It's like we're like one of three people. And there's like security guards that stand there because you're not allowed to have your bags in there and stuff like that. Anyway, they're typical like security guards, right? Like kind of muscular guys like standing up against the walls, you know, and watching. And so there had been this one security guard that had been standing at the top of the stairs that was right near where, because we were standing at the end of the bar, and I kept seeing him out of the corner of my eye, and I was watching him. And then the next thing I know, there's this guy standing in front of us at the bar, like smiling at me. And I was just like, wait, aren't you the security guard from right over there? And then it dawned on me, no, Adam, it was Lamont Cranston. Lamont Cranston showed up at the Eagle to grace the Robs and I with his presence.
And then the clouds opened up.
I'm telling you this.
Night was saved.
Lamont Cranston is like the Pied Piper of Dick. It's just like, because dead bar, Lamont Cranston shows up, suddenly just wall-to-wall packed people in the club. Just like, Adam, just penises everywhere. You know, leather people doing leather things. It was great. So There you go. Good. So a pro tip, ladies and gentlemen, if you ever go to the Eagle, don't go until like midnight or something. It's like, you know, getting there before midnight is just pointless. So,
well, people don't do nasty things until midnight or later. So, you know, if they're going to go to the Eagle and get their nasty on, they, you know, they spend a little time, I don't know, prepping before.
I don't know. I don't know where they're at before. You know, I maybe figure out where they're at before that or something.
Well, Daniel, I don't know if you're aware, but there's a lot of prepping that has to go on before some sexual activities.
You know what, Adam? If you stay ready, then you don't have to get ready. That's what I'm trying to say. Is it's one of those things. Here's the thing. It was just, I felt so bad because it was just kind of like, you know, took him to the comedy club. That sucked. It was like, took him to the Eagle. It was dead. So I don't know what their impression on this than New York was, but it wasn't my fault. It really wasn't my fault. But thank you, Lamont. No,
they've been to New York before.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They've been to New York before. So that's, now I feel like that ref from last night. I'm just sitting here letting the show die. Let's see what's on the phone call.
This is C.T. Yelly for the Death Phone. Darwin Cook has passed away at 53 of cancer. Darwin Cook is a cartoonist, an animator, usually has kind of dark side to comics, just beautifully drawn stories. Darwin Cook, dead at the age of 53.
53. There you go. Darwin Cook. Are we giving him that?
Sure.
All right, great. Congratulations.
I don't know who that is, but...
C.T. Yelly, that's Bill.
No. I don't know who the... No, I don't. Anyway.
Darwin Cook. It says right there, Darwin Cook.
Darwin. Maybe it's Darwin. I had trouble...
It says Darwin Cook, Adam. I'm sure.
Yeah, but
you wouldn't make
like
a mistake, Adam, because you, sir, are at the helm of the most popular new podcast to hit the planet. It's the Sex Factor Recap Podcast. Adam, by the way, yeah, Lamont Cranston really did. He saved the night. Thank you, Lamont. You know what? By the time Lamont showed up, I was so drunk, and I might
did
have
he
had
come
a
in singing like. Here I come to save the day.
You might as well.
You know, the
I had already mouse. I had eaten a brownie, so I was feeling no pain. Oh. I was quite so I'm sure he was just like, "Oh my god, what the fuck is wrong with these people?" But it's like, yeah, he was there. It was so thank you, Lamont. Oh, and Lamont said that I can hang out with him at Pride this year, so I get to hang out. I'm like that little dog that jumps around, you know, it's like, "What are we going to do today, Butch? What are we going to do, Butch? Where are we going to go, Butch? Huh? Listen, what are we going to do? What are we going to do?" It's like I get to hang around with Lamont Cranston at Pride. It'll be great.
Cool. Well, I did start a new podcast. I think we talked about it already, mostly.
You talked about doing it. You talked about doing it, but Adam, you did it. You went out.
I did it.
So the inaugural episode of The Sex Factor, which is a reality porn competition. Now, if you haven't seen this yet, don't fret. It's absolutely free to watch. You can watch it on the interwebs. Just go to sexfactor.com, and they have the episodes up. Their episodes come out, what, every Thursday?
Yeah, every Thursday.
Every Thursday. There's only going to be, I think, 8 or 10 episodes.
10, I believe.
And it's kind of one of those. Here's the thing. The show was produced before they sold it. So the producer of the show basically pocketed everything out of his own pocket and made this show, paid everybody, and then turned around and tried to sell it to TV networks. Failed at selling it to any TV networks. And finally, an online porn site bought it and said, but here's the interesting thing. The online porn site bought 2 seasons of the show. And I think that makes a lot of sense for them to do that, because really, when you think about it, there's billions of dollars that are spent in porn, right? But if you look at the breakdown of that, online porn has a completely different audience than like porn channels or like you know, like the Playboy channel on your cable or things like that, because those things are counted in the amount of money that are spent in porn. So even though The Sex Factor has no gay scenes in it, and I can guarantee you it's not going to have any gay scenes in it other than maybe some lesbian or faux lesbian stuff in it, is because they targeted this for TV. They filmed this with the intention that it was going to go on TV, and so in order to make a mainstream splash, it needed to be as heterosexual as it possibly could be, because the only people that are going to watch a porn reality competition on mainstream TV are going to be straight guys. Let's face that. That's just reality. But it's so interesting that now that it actually got picked up by the internet. So I actually have a lot of hopes for season 2 of this show, because if you really look at the numbers, gay men spend a lot of money online comparative to straight people as far as online porn go. So I think season 2, they're almost going to have some bi and some gay actors in it because the online market is so heavily saturated by gay people spending money on porn that it would be stupid to ignore them.
Yeah, and also the gay porn actors, I believe, now don't quote me on this because I've not done actual research, but seems like I've heard somewhere that a gay porn actor male,
yes,
will make more than a straight male porn actor.
And so right? Here, so, the breakdown of porn payment, right? The top of the heap, the absolute top of the heap, unless you're like a superstar, right? But the absolute top of the heap are the gay males. Gay male porn stars make the most. Now, when we talk about, we're talking about your big names, right? Like your run of the mill porn star. Yes, the gay male is going to make more than the straight woman. It's going to make more than the straight man. That's kind of the pecking order there. But yeah, it's like you have to really be a name to be a female porn star. And if you're a male straight porn star, yeah, unless you're like Ron Jeremy or somebody that's like,
which I don't get.
But the point is that you are known, right? That it's like, you know, it's like, I don't get Paris Hilton either, but she's known. The point is that it's crazy for there to be.
So anyway, Daniel, I started it. And
I feel like I'm all over the road here, but it's not important. What's the question? You started a new podcast, Adam. That's what
there is no question. We're talking about. So I rushed Wednesday night or Tuesday night, whenever it was. I rushed because you text messaged me and you're like, do you have the Twitter account? Do you have the Facebook page? Do you have the yada, yada, yada? And I'm like, oh, crap. If I'm going to do this, I guess I have to do it. You know, I need to get out there. So I, you know, threw together a website.
Here's the thing, Adam. I wanted to point this out. I've just been doing nothing but trying to help you with your show.
No, I appreciate that. No, I appreciate the help, but I'm saying I thought, okay, I guess I need to, you know, get this done quickly because I don't want to lose any of this. So I got the Twitter account. I threw together a logo, which is horrible, but I was in a hurry. So I threw together a logo and then I felt obliged to go ahead and put out an episode on Thursday. Now I realize that you know, if you wait a day or two or whatever, you can have more time to think and watch, see news stories and all that. But I just really wanted to get it out there. I knew I was going to be busy on the weekend and I wanted to get it out there. So I, as soon as the episode came out, I left the office and went to my car and watched it on YouTube. And then, you know, and then I watched it a couple of times. And then when I came home while we were sitting there watching TV, I played it in a headphone in my ear. I wasn't watching it. I was like watching TV with Mark, but I was listening. And I had notepad
that
open.
That must have been a shitty experience. Because let me tell you, the sound on this show is, I watched YouTube channels that have better sound quality than this,
I know,
this fucker.
What drove me the most crazy, and I'm not sure why this is what drove me the most crazy. Some of the scenes, it was in stereo, but each of the people were in a different ear.
Yep.
They couldn't have mixed it? I mean, did they not notice that when they were putting together the
audio? I'm convinced that there's no one in LA that knows how to engineer sound because this AfterBuzz TV that I watched, this AfterBuzz TV, they have four people behind four microphones, and regularly two of the microphones are not even on. You're hearing the people coming in through the other microphone. So it has that speakerphone effect where it just sounds like they're, you know, sounds like they're talking across the room because they are. But yeah, this sound production on this thing is really horrible. The other thing I don't know that you read, but they had signed up a host for this show and had filmed several episodes with this host, and then she quit and they had to bring in a new host. So I have the feeling that because they were saying it was after like three episodes that this original host left. And I think you're going to see after episode three, probably a different, because a lot of the things that in this first episode you said that felt really staged. I'm almost going to guarantee you it was staged because they had to refilm episodes 1, 2, and 3 with a different host because the host sits on the panel, right? So it's like,
right.
They had to redo all of those. So it's like now, and you know, porn actors are the greatest actors in the world, Adam. They're so believable. So it's like, right. Now you have a panel of porn stars pretending like they're seeing this for the first time. So it's like their fake shock of like, what? It's just like, you know.
I felt like my main takeaway was I think they're trying to mimic a lot of different reality shows all in one.
Yeah.
And I felt like they were doing, you know, because the production quality is not great, I just felt like, don't try to mimic, you know, I don't know, don't try to mimic Survivor where we have the voting and like the things and bring out like a bowl that you bought at Target with like some like folded up post-it notes.
It was,
in
it. Yeah. They were like, it wasn't like Survivor has parchment that you write things on and it goes into some kind of urn or whatever. It's like, no, on this show, they literally write it on post-it notes and it goes into like a Teflon bowl or like one of those polyurethane bowls from the kitchen.
Right. It was, they literally went to the dude's kitchen and said, what bowls do you have in here? And they could have, done something cheap. Like they could have, I don't know, they could have gotten a flesh jack container,
right, exactly,
and used that. They could have, I mean, anything to make it at least kind
but
of
here's the thing,
porn.
Adam, this the guy that to produce this was a, you know, he worked in Silicon Valley. He was like a sales guy in Silicon, you know what I'm saying? He worked in the tech industry. He had no experience with any of this stuff whatsoever. It's like, so to sit down and to make up the format of a game show, it's probably going to be all over the fucking road. I guarantee you the $1 million that this company paid for this was for season two. It's like season one is just nothing more than just like free advertisement so that they can get good candidates in January. Because if you want to be on this show, you need to try out in January at the AVNs.
So at first, and this is the last thing because we need to move on, but at first I thought, okay, I'm going to have a co-host and I really wanted good audio. So I really wanted someone that could record their end, so do double-ended recording.
Right. You know who's good at doing the double-ended stuff is Mr. Mike. Mr. Mike in Canada, he would...
Oh, is he?
Well, he brings all of his equipment to Pride 48.
That's true. But I don't know if he's... Anyway, so I wanted that, and I wanted someone, you know, mildly entertaining and who... Whatever. I asked so many people, and you know the most common answer?
What?
Was that they didn't want to be associated with porn.
Wow.
So we have a bunch of, or that they're prudish, or that they can't talk about sexual activities.
Well, Adam, if you're going to ask Nicole, it's like, that's the answer she's going to give.
And then I did, and I want to, any of you who messaged me and said you wanted to be a co-host, because I did get some messages from people who said they wanted to be a co-host. I think what I've landed on is, because here's the deal with having a co-host. It becomes that much harder to schedule the episodes when they're going to be recorded because both of you have to be free and, you know, you have to work out the audio stuff where they're recording and you're recording and it becomes more of a thing, right? Harder to get out an episode every week. And so what I think I'm going to do is a lot of them will be with just me, but I will rotate in some guests. So if you have asked me to be a co-host or to help out, I will probably email you and ask you, hey, let me get you on one or two episodes. And I won't have like a consistent co-host every week, but it'll be like a different Pride 48 member or something like that.
Well, Adam, if you want to check out Adam's new show, make sure you do it. It's over at sexfactorrecap.com and check it out. I'm going to listen, Adam.
You said you enjoyed it.
I did. Yeah. I think you it was your first attempt and I think you overdid it on some stuff that you can... You know, you probably shouldn't put the work in. Like, you pulled way too many clips, I feel like. It's like, you don't need to do that much work. You just need to pull, like, some quintessential clips, you know, like, whatever. But, yeah.
I was up till 2:30.
I know. But it's
Friday
like,
morning.
The other thing is that you need to, that was my other experienced, my you know, experience talking. Here's my experience talking for you. Yeah, it's best, if the show comes out on Thursday, it's best to do your show on a Saturday. Having a couple of days between the time the show airs and the time that you record your podcast gives you time to read stories on the internet, gives you time to get more informed with things that have happened in the episode so that you're not trying to catch up later. And it's just, so I think like waiting a couple of days after it airs produces a better recap show than, you know, trying to get it as close to the airing date as possible. Like if they release it on a Thursday and you record on Saturday and it goes out Sunday, that's good, I think. Anyway, but that would be my very thing. Anyway, that's not important. So you've got one more thing. Are you going to skip over that? Or by the way, a programming note, we will not be here next week. So this episode may be longer than other episodes, but that's just because we're not going to be here next week.
And this is episode 200.
That's right. This is episode 200. Thank all of you for calling in for episode 200. Oh, wait, hold on. Maybe this is somebody calling in for episode 200.
Yeah, hi guys. Archie Cruiser again for the Celebrity Death Phone. Yeah. Former Megadeth drummer Nick Menza, dead at 51, died doing what he wanted to do, drumming. Okay.
Right. Who's this? Nick what?
Nick something. Sure, he's a Megadeth drummer. I'm sure he's famous.
Okay, great. There you go. Congratulations, RT Cruiser, for the Megadeth kind of a thing. All right, so go ahead, Adam. Hit us with your final topic there.
So really quickly, We're planning a trip to Hawaii.
I had never heard this before.
And so we booked our plane tickets. Now I just want to say we have been waiting and watching Kayak and Google Flights and like everything else for months.
Months.
Because Mark was sure that the cost would go down.
Lifehacker tells you that the best time to buy an airline ticket is 53 days before your trip, and it is it makes a difference if you buy your plane ticket on a Tuesday or a Wednesday.
Yeah, I've heard those things, and I think normally that would be true because we watched as every single date around the date that we were going went down, and it kept inching and inching and inching, and we thought, surely it's going to get to the dates that we are. But no, it never did. We're like 30 days out now, and it never got down to the prices that are all the dates around us. But I think the reason is we're going 4th of July weekend.
Well, yeah, duh, yeah.
So we finally just like, we have to pull the trigger. And it was not cheap. It was not cheap. But I was really torn, Daniel.
Yes.
Because I did a bunch of, they have these quizzes. I don't know if people are aware of this, but they have these quizzes that you can take that will tell you which Hawaiian island you should go to.
Okay. Do you have one handy?
You answer all these questions.
Do you
questions?
Have one handy? Do I get to take one?
I don't have one handy. Oh, do you want fine. Me to
no,
find one?
No, that's fine. Hey, it would have been a cute bit, Adam, but no, that's fine. We don't want to show 200. We don't want to give people a bit or something like that. That would be stupid, though. That would be just stupid.
Let's see. I'll find one. Let's see. Just type in which Hawaiian island should I go to? Should I visit? Okay. Here's one. So I'll just read this to you.
Okay.
All right. Which Hawaiian island are you?
There's like no, always, there's no production value in here. Nothing. Just, you're just going to read it. You're not going to, you don't have like like a theme song here.
How do you spell luau?
L-U-A-U, right? Let's see. L-U-A-U. Yeah, I was right. L-U-A-U. Yeah, Osmama Doo's like, no bumper, no bumper.
And every day she did a dance for me. And it's a dance that everyone should see.
All right.
It's now time. For the Dubious Intent Hawaiian quiz.
Yeah, music's too loud.
Are you hearing that Hawaiian music?
Yeah, it was a little too loud, but it's fine.
All right. You always pack your blank first. And your choices are swimsuit, smartphone, beach read, GoPro, sunscreen, or yoga mat.
Cell phone.
All right. Question number two. Would you rather kayak down a river, take a surf lesson, go whale watching, hike volcanic craters, explore a royal coconut grove, or hit the trail on a four-wheeler?
Wow, there's a lot of those that I'd like to do. What was my choice? Read them quickly again.
Kayak, surf, whale watching, volcanic craters, coconut grove, or four-wheeler?
I'll go with whale watching.
Okay, good choice. I like that.
I would also do the four-wheeling.
You're traveling for the romance, adventure, surf, food, culture, or rest and relaxation?
I'm going to go with food, Adam. Going to go with food.
All right. Maybe Joe Batanz could go and take you to some Hawaiian food trucks. No, your first meal would be...
It's like every food truck in Hawaii is like a spam truck. It's like...
Customizing your shave ice creation, ahi tuna poke, peeling fresh garlic shrimp, attending a luau, complete with a buffet, going on a hot bread run, that's a thing, and Loco Moco, burger and rice dish.
I gotta say, if I'm in Hawaii, I gotta do the luau thing. Gonna go.
All right. Choose a hotel style. Beachfront cottage, private vacation rental, five-star service, eco-friendly, romantic villa, or family-friendly?
I'm going to say the private rental.
All right. You drink your drink of choice.
Oh my God, how
Kona
many
coffee,
questions are there? Yes, go ahead.
I don't know.
What are my questions?
Kona coffee, uh-huh. Mai Tai, uh-huh. Local Hawaiian craft brew, Lava Flow, uh-huh. Blue Hawaii, uh-huh. Or Molokai Mule.
I'm going to go with the local craft beer. They go
poo-poo-le when they see. Pick a song. Aloha Queen, Over the Rainbow, Tiny Bubbles, Ukulele Songs, You and Your Heart, or Hawaiian Wedding Songs.
I guess the Queen.
All right, so, Daniel, are you ready?
I'm ready.
For your...
my personalized, scientifically arrived at perfect island for me to visit in Hawaii. What is it, Adam?
All right, Daniel. Your best match is Oahu.
Oahu. Wow, there you go.
Yeah, so Oahu is... with the majority of Hawaii's population on Oahu, social butterflies will... you're not a social butterfly. But anyway, social butterflies will benefit from all that brings modern art, entertainment, and an exciting food scene. There's also plenty of action, whether that be outrigger canoeing in Waikiki, watching the pros surf the North Shore, or recounting American history at Pearl Harbor. So anyway.
There you go. Great. I'm
so
gonna
I took
sure.
a similar Oahu. I took a similar quiz, yeah. And I got Oahu and Maui. And we wanted to do a bit of city life and a bit of beach life. So we decided Maui for the relaxing beaches and Oahu for like the nightlife,
yeah,
and stuff like that. Then I realized the only live volcano mm-hmm. is on the Big Island.
Right, you've talked about this and you were going to go there for a couple of days. And
did I already?
Yeah.
Oh, well, anyway, so we bought the plane tickets. Yeah. If I've already talked about it, we're doing three islands instead of two.
So you're spending the money to get the third island.
Yes. We're only staying there for a day.
Hashtag 1%er you.
We're only staying there for a day, and we're going to do cheap hotel probably, but we're going to do a live volcano. So that's it.
Excellent.
So
that's,
now.
That's, oh, shit. Sorry. So were you done? Were you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
There's this girl that's trying to get to the fiesta. It's like a golf game. We got to let her play through really quickly.
It's a birthday fiesta. Yeah. So let's all sing and Spanish. Ready?
Okay.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
I'll hit myself. Happy birthday to you! Adam, it is the Dubious Intent birthday segment of the show where Adam will play a musical cue for somebody's birthday and I using only my head, brain, and mouth words. We'll figure out whose birthday it is without cheating and looking in the chat room unless, of course, I get stuck. In which case, I will totally and absolutely cheat. But you see, because I'm telling you about it, I still get to keep my my honor intact. That's what I'm trying to say. My integrity. Please, Adam, what is our first musical cue for a birthday this week?
Just an aside here, Daniel, hashtag Tyler H in the chat room asks why I don't sing with you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Adam hates Spanish women.
First of all, I'm not five. And second of all, it's in protest because my favorite birthday song is the one we used to do. And thirdly, I don't think it would sync up because you're playing the music on your end. And if I sang, my singing would probably not be with your singing. That probably makes no sense to anyone other than us.
This is the one that Adam likes. He prefers this one.
Uh-huh. But there's usually singing with it, too.
I don't know what's going on here. It's just that I pick the...
It's your birthday!
It's your birthday!
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my birthday, gonna have a good time!
It's my birthday, too. Yeah. It's like such a great song. It's not a Dora level song, you know, but it's a great song.
It was cute. Okay. Anyway, I love the Dora song as well. I just the audio
you
wouldn't
hate,
sing up.
You
sync
hate
up.
Dora.
So I'm not gonna do that. All right, our first song.
And yeah.
Oh yeah, 'cause you're nice. No, you're gonna take too long. You've only got...
Let me go back.
Oi, hello there everyone, and welcome to Draw My Thing. So I'm going to be playing with a few of my new friends.
This is Joey Graceffa.
She's kind of like brought me.
Look how easily you pick out a YouTube celebrity.
What? Joey Graceffa was also on The Amazing Race. Maybe I know him from his TV appearance
theme song,
on The Amazing Race.
No, nothing. You're like, oh, yeah, Joey Graceffa.
That is Joey Graceffa. He is Wolf's daddy because he has an adorable dog named Wolf. But yeah, that's Joey Graceffa, who just recently, I believe, made the announcement he was going to adopt a baby. I don't know if that was a joke or not, though. It could have been.
Maybe so. Oh, maybe Tyler knows Joey. He's on a first name basis with Joey there.
See, Tyler and I.
Oh, that's Joey.
This is why Tyler and I are on the same wavelength here. Yeah, of course. Of course it's Joey. That would be
how
like
old is Tyler, and how old are you, Daniel?
Tyler is 11, and I'm 11 at heart. Adam is what I'm trying to say.
Okay, well, I'm 11 at heart. Joey. Oh, imagine that, everyone. Daniel got a YouTube celebrity's birthday. Joey Graceffa.
And then Joey Graceffa, the greatest video clip ever. I should pull this clip and put it on my YouTube channel. But it's the one where he wins the award at the Pets show and they mispronounce his name and the cameras are all faced on him. And he just looks appalled that they don't know his name.
He's 25 years old, Daniel.
Happy birthday, Joey Graceffa.
25 years old. All right. Happy birthday. Here's our next one.
This is Janet. Miss Jackson, if you're nasty, but yeah, this is Janet Jackson, Rhythm Nation.
Wow, you're getting these. I just want to play a little bit of the second clip.
Okay.
Just because it was my favorite one. As I was walking by, I saw you standing there with a smile. I don't know if you're aware of this, but this is Escapade.
I was aware of this, Adam.
And I played Escapade in junior high marching band.
Oh, yeah. So you had the...
It holds a...
The, great. Buzzy's... Buzzy does not like that. I'll tell you that right now. He's very...
So yes, Daniel, it is Janet Jackson. Buzzy, it is Janet Jackson. And she is 50 years old. And, you know, you can give yourself a ta-da if you'd like, or, you know, you don't have to...
I could... Actually, this is how my brain works. I'm on YouTube trying to find a marching band playing Escapade from Janet Jackson. That was what I was trying to find right now. It's like,
Well, while you're looking, she's 50 years old, and Wendy Williams announced on her show recently, the last week or so.
I think it's a medley that has Escapade in it.
That Janet Jackson is pregnant.
Ooh, Janet Jackson is pregnant.
At 50 years old. I think that's a bit risky.
Wow.
But, you know, go Janet. All right, 50 years old. Here is our next birthday.
The best theme song ever made for any TV show. This is the theme rock to 30 song. This is the theme song to 30 Rock, Adam.
It is, and that's an ensemble cast, as it is.
It is indeed.
So I'll play one more little clippy-poo. Here we go.
There's this book, this really great book called The Taliban Shuffle, and it was written by a woman named Kim Barker, who was
that's
a journalist
Tina
who got sent. So, there was sort of like, we need...
That is Tina Fey, Adam. That is Tina Fey, the head writer, playing the head writer Liz Lemon, but also one of the head writers of that show.
It is Tina Fey. And it is Tina Fey's birthday. Tina Fey is 46 years young.
Wow. Happy birthday, yeah. Tina Fey.
So she's 4 years younger than Janet Jackson.
Wow.
All right. Here's our next one.
These nights never seem to go to plan. I don't want you to leave. Will you hold my hand?
Why does that thing that point?
Oh, won't you stay?
Is this Sam Smith? Is that who it is? Is it Sam Smith?
It is Sam Smith.
I know none of his songs other than that one clip. It's just like, because every time they introduce him, it's like, Sam Clip, that clip is playing. So it's like, isn't he gay?
Wow, he is gay. You're doing very well this evening.
I often do well on this game. I think that is often
overlooked. 4 for 4 so far. Sam Smith is always heartbroken. And he's 24 years old.
24 years young.
Now, Daniel, don't throw up when I play this next one or like yell at me because I've played the same theme song a million times in the past month.
All right, here we go.
But I'm going to play it again. I do not choose whose birthday it is.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life.
Wow.
The facts of life. There's a time you got
to
grow
say
and
this
show.
Is the theme to Growing Pains? Is that...
Facts of life when the world never seems.
All right, this is an ensemble show called The Facts of Life, Adam. So we're
dreams.
Looking for one of the five main characters, I'm going to guess. And I think Miss Garrett already had her birthday, so it's probably
not her.
So it's just we're down to the four girls now, right? And Kim Fields was previous, so she's out of the running. So now we're just down to, oh my God, if I know these names, it's so how sad is my life if I can remember what Nancy McKeon, What was the one on Survivor? The one that was on Survivor was Lisa Welschel, and Natalie was played by, I don't know her name. If I heard it, I would kick myself and go, oh my God, that's her name. But anyway, all right. So, well, so it's one of the, it's one of those. Yes.
Here's another clip.
Scooby-Doo.
It is.
Scooby-Doo. So someone did the voice on Scooby, or did a voice on Scooby-Doo? Like the movie?
It's more recent episodes of Scooby-Doo.
Mindy Cohn. Yes. By the way, Mindy Cohn was her name. Thank you, Nico said Mindy, and that reminded me.
So here's the last clip I have.
Just cork it. You see this badge? Know why it's here?
It came with the shirt. The first documented case of the Curse of Crystal Cove.
That is Mindy Cohn. That's Natalie's
when a garrison
voice.
Of Spanish conquistadors mysteriously vanished.
Is it Mindy Cohn, Adam?
It is.
It is Mindy Cohn. Look at that. All right. Excellent.
It is. She plays Velma in the most recent incarnation of Scooby-Doo on whatever channel, I guess the Cartoon Network or whoever still does Scooby-Doo. So she plays Velma.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
Yeah, she's Mindy Cohn. Natalie is 50 years old.
50
so she is
years.
The same age.
Same age as Janet Jackson. Janet Jackson and Mindy Cohn, both a year older than me.
Hmm. All right, so two more, and here is our penultimate one. What?
It sounds like Madonna. Is it Madonna?
Oh my God. Chat room. Okay, wait. Don't tell him. Don't tell him. I have one more song. Don't anyone tell him. I'm going to play one more song. Here we go.
Sure. It did not sound like Cher in that first one though.
It was.
I know I've outed myself here, but I'll just go ahead and say I was never a big Cher fan.
If I could turn. Anyway.
There you go. So Cher, Adam. I'm going to say it. Cher. You know, I was staying.
You asked if it was Madonna.
I was staying on Malibu right up the road from Cher's house when I was out in LA last year. So, you know, her and I are tight. I was like, I was driving by there to get to the store. She's like, get off my yard. It's like she was ho.
I can't believe you thought Cher was Madonna.
I'm editing that out. I'm taking that out. This one,
no,
the chat room will know.
Cher is, now how old do you think Cher is?
Cher's like 60, 68 maybe.
Okay, you're close. Cher is 70 years old.
70, wow, 70 years old.
70 years old, yeah.
Cool.
All right, here is our last birthday for this week.
Yay. The theme to the A Team, Adam. The A Team.
It is. You know, the theme songs back in the 80s were so much better than the theme songs now.
No, the problem with it is those themes, it's a great theme song, but it goes on for 6.5 minutes. And it's just like, that's my problem with old theme songs. It's like the only modern theme song that's really long is like Game of Thrones. And I hate Game of Thrones intro so much because the HBO,
like, how many different ways?
The HBO Go app doesn't have an easy way to fast forward past that theme song. It's just kind of like, oh, come on, just get me past this fucking theme song. Anyway,
yeah, but they're also catchy and like you enjoy listening to them. Anyway, all right.
Game
so here
of
is
Game of Thrones is on the TV. He hasn't written it yet. It's not done yet. It's not done yet.
Here is our last song.
All right, Adam, this is Eye of the Tiger by the smash hit band in the 80s called Survivor, which I believe this is their one and only, and I think they had a second hit, but it was just like, it was kind of like this song light or whatever.
Was it like Survivor Blood versus Water or something?
It was. No, but here's the thing, Adam, is I know that the thing that the A-Team and this theme song have, and this was also the theme to Rocky II. Which I believe in Rocky II, Sylvester Stallone was up against Mr. T as his boxing partner. And Mr. T played B.A. Baracus or something on the A-Team. So it's Mr. T. Even though Yasmin Badu typed it in the chat room, I already knew it's Mr. T.
It is Mr. T. Mr. T is 64 years old, and it was Rocky III.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, Rocky 2 is on the brain because Pod is My Co-Pilot just talked about that. By the way, Mr. T, you know, the most recent thing that Mr. T did was just this great series. This amazing series of World of Warcraft commercials. Do you remember that? These were on TV. These were on TV just recently. Like a couple of years ago.
I'm Mr. T, and this is my Night Elf Mohawk.
God, T, there's no such thing as a Night Elf Mohawk.
Shut up, fool! Like I was saying, my Mohawk storms through mighty forests on his frost saber. My Mohawk...
T, it's a warrior, not a Mohawk.
Well, maybe Mr. T hacked the game and created a Mohawk class. Maybe Mr. T's pretty handy with computers. Had that occurred to you, Mr. Condescending Director? I'm Mr. T, and I'm a Night Elf Mohawk. What's your game?
World of Warcraft. Try it for free at Warcraft.com.
Rated T for team.
Yeah, see, that was Mr. T. Dubious Nin is brought to you by World of Warcraft. All right, great. That seems great, and I should probably do this.
I don't think he's doing much nowadays. I did read that he, after Hurricane Katrina, yeah, he decided to stop wearing his gold jewelry.
I think that was Yakov Smirnoff. Anyway, let me go over to the Pride 48 website really quick and see if we have any birthdays over there. Let's see. On the 13th, it was Mean Keen's birthday. We're going to be gone for a week, so I might as well clear this out. Next week, happy birthday to Tim in Alaska, Wendy, John, and Comic Vixen, all on the 24th of May. There you go. If you'd like to have your birthday listed on Pride 48, make sure you sign up for a Pride 48 account and click on the Yes, I'd Like to Have My Birthday printed on the thing. Wow, I can't talk anymore. This is just... The news.
Really?
I'm stalling. I'm trying to find the music for the next segment. Hey, Adam, it's the news game. We have a catchy little theme song for that. It would really be embarrassing if I didn't have that, like, anywhere close to being ready to being played, wouldn't it?
You know, if you're quiet, they truncate silence.
News game, it's time for a news game. News game. Which headline is real? All right, Adam, it's the news game. You're going to read me three headlines, two of which are completely and 100% bullshit. One of them, which is correct.
Yeah. All right, Daniel, three headlines.
It's almost as if I just said that, yes.
One of them is correct. Are you ready, Daniel?
Wait, I'm not sure if I understand the premise of this bit, Adam. Is it you're going to read me three headlines? And two of them are fake? Is that, am I getting that
That's
right?
That's correct. Okay, great. And you need to guess.
Anytime now, Adam.
All right.
Anytime.
So the first headline, Hillary's recovered emails.
Yes.
Reveal Republican gun grab plan. Mm-hmm. That's the first headline.
Okay, great. Hillary's, I don't even know what that means, but Hillary's something. All right, go ahead. Move along, Ness.
All right. Second headline. Video shows fireball in the sky as Egypt Air flight disappears from radar.
Ooh, a fireball in the sky as Egypt Air disappears from flight.
Okay, third headline. A woman's obituary said she chose death over voting for Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton.
The woman's obituary said that she'd rather die than vote for Hillary or Donald Trump. Okay. So let's see, Adam, let me dissect this really quickly. I'm going to throw out one. No, that's not how it works. I'm going to choose the one I think is right, and then you're going to eliminate one of the fake ones. All right, so the one I think is right is the obituary story. I think the woman obituary, because that seems like something like someone who had cancer or it was like the end of their life, who was just kind of like one of those happy people, would say, you know what, when you print my obituary, just say, I'd rather die than vote for blah, blah, blah. It's like, because I know that my dad's obituary, we actually put a joke in my dad's obituary also. So it's like, I would not put that past that being something that somebody would do, especially if the person that they were doing it to was known to be a jokester. So it would be an endearing tribute to that person. So I'm going to say that that is the real one, Adam. Tell me one of the fake ones.
One of the fake ones is Hillary's recovered emails reveal Republican gun grab plan.
See, I don't even know what that means, but yeah, okay.
That's because I couldn't read you the...
Okay.
If I read you the actual... Oh. Let me just read you this. Recovered emails belonging to former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton have revealed plans to seize guns from Republicans on the 8th of November, 2016.
All right, great. All right, so I'm feel pretty good about my choice here, Adam, because I believe that the missing plane... they have now decided probably had smoke, not a fire. So it was unlikely that it was a bomb or any kind of...
Daniel, where there's smoke,
I know, but what I'm saying fire. Is that it's the smoke, the black box shows that these smoke detectors were going off, but where they were happening, it probably would not have been, it would have been a really hard place for there to be a bomb. So it was probably just an internal fire, which you would not see a fireball before they also they disappeared really quickly. So anyway, I'm going to say, Adam, I'm going to stick with my guns. I'm going to say it's the obituary thing. And now this is the weird transition that I have to make here because you want me to now play the serious music.
Well, I have to tell you if you're correct or not.
All right, tell me if I'm correct or not.
Daniel.
Yes?
You are.
Yes?
Correct.
Yay! Absolutely. I am 100% correct because I knew it all along. Adam, tell us this news story about this crazy lady and her obituary.
In May 2016, an image purportedly showing the obituary of a woman named Mary Ann Nolan started circulating on Facebook, saying that she had found death preferable to voting for either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. Here's an excerpt from the actual obituary. Mary Ann Alfred, faced with the prospect of voting for either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, Mary Ann of Richmond chose instead to pass into the eternal love of God on Sunday, May 15th, 2016, at the age of 68.
There you go. Well, congratulations. Yeah. I don't know how to do this transition, so I'm just going to stop and do this other one and fix it in the mix. So please stand by for a really harsh transition, chat room. Excellent. It is the contact segment of the show, the segment of the show where we read your emails and... Hold on. Hold on a second, Adam. A late entry into the death phone contest here. Let's just see what this is really quickly. Hello.
Yeah, hi, guys. RT Cruiser for the celebrity death phone. William Baker, jingle writer, dead at 89. You would remember his song, I'd Like to Buy the World a Coke. Okay, bye.
I'd like to buy the world a Coke and keep it company. Yes, we're
sure.
Doing that. All right, you sound less than enthusiastic about it. Like, sure, I guess. So we have
every time we say no to one, we get backlash from the.
We have an email here. It came in from Kathy Bacum. I'm not sure who Kathy Bacum is. Is that like her twin sister?
That's a typo.
Oh, it's her typo sister.
But, it's a typo, but I just thought, I'll leave it.
Happy Bacum. Kathy Bacum. It's a Bacon communication, so it's a Baycom. It's Kathy's
right.
Baycom. Kathy's writes, if Geeky Gay takes off and makes money, can Maddie sue for royalties since you're using sound clips from the Adam and Maddie show? On another note, I mostly want to know how many boxes Adam is packing. 1 to 2 on GG and 3 to 4 on DI. I'm so confused. Oh, so on your Geeky Gay show, you said that you're only packing 1 or 2 boxes a day. And on DI last week, you were saying that you were going to pack 3 to 4 boxes each day.
That's because Dubious Intent recorded first and then Geeky Gay recorded. And I was amending that number because I had not achieved the number that I said on Dubious Intent. And if I were to record a podcast tonight, I would say I'm going to pack about a half a box a day right. because so far only achieved one box.
There you go. But the more important question here is what clips are you using from the Adam and Maddie show that she's concerned about Maddie getting?
The theme song. I use it on
yeah, but that's
everything
the,
that I...
Yeah, but you paid for the rights to that theme song.
Well, it's a Creative Commons, but it's my... I mean, first of all, he didn't care about anything. And so, I mean, he wouldn't care, but...
I don't care. Well, no, let's be serious. If there was any kind of money involved in it, he would suddenly care about it. Are you doing this again?
Except I changed it because...
Look at that. Oh, he's changed it, ladies and gentlemen. He's changed it.
Yeah, it explodes at the end because that... I don't know if she's listening to the audio or she's watching the video, and I don't remember... It must be the audio, so I just played the video version. But to go with the little logo that I created, the animated thing, I needed a short, concise theme that had some kind of, you know, dramatic whatever. So no, I will not be paying royalties to anyone. We never made money off of the Adam and Maddie show, nor do I make any money off of any of my shows, so there'll be no royalties to be paid.
You could always use this one for your geeky gay. Like...
Now it's time. Maddie exploded in the guest bathroom last night. I don't want to remember him anymore.
Yeah, there's...
He needs to be wiped from my memory. Oh. Forget those years ever occurred.
Now, for your new sex recap, you could, there's a wide array of theme songs available in the Dubious Intent archive that you could use.
That's true.
Like,
That's true.
You could have just... Anne.
Right. I should just try to find a way to work those in.
Tossed off. Mm-hmm. There's that one. There's that. My favorite. The.
It's time for the show. The female lesbian show.
Now, I tell you what.
Yes. Yes.
Heidi. I think, Daniel, since you're such a wonderful producer of theme songs, that you should produce me a theme song.
I wasn't even invited to be a guest on your show, much less...
You'll be invited to be a guest. Okay,
now you want me to
do
a theme song for you?
You'll be invited to be a guest. Okay, I want to tell everyone in the listening audience, mm-hmm. the only reason I didn't ask Daniel to be a co-host in that show is because it would just be Dubious Intent. I mean, we already do a show together.
I think I gotta fix it. Oh, yeah, here's their theme song. Got it set.
Now it's time for the show.
The Sex Fact Recap. Sex Factor right. Recap. Sex Factor exactly. Sex Factor Recap Show.
It's the I think you're feeling a little bit show with
Adam Burns.
And Heidi.
And Heidi. Yeah.
I think you're feeling a little nostalgic because we are at, of the new incarnation, we're at episode 200. I think we mentioned that earlier.
100 shows, Adam, as some people would say.
You know, are there people who've listened all the way from the very beginning of the first incarnation all the way up to now?
I don't know because there's more than 200. Here's the thing, Adam. There's been 200 shows with you as a cook because we restarted... On episode one.
I know, but I would think for most people, that would be 200 shows too many.
It would.
And
I think that's...
You know, I mean, who has listened?
When people buy the multi-VHS set of all the Dubious Intent archives or whatever, those would be... Your 200 would be grouped together in the 200 shows too many section.
Am I like the when they switched Darren on Bewitched?
You're like, worse than that. You're like when they switched Becky on Roseanne, because if Alden showed back up next week and wanted his job back, he would be right back in there. It's just like,
oh great. I think we'd just do a 3-person cast.
Oh, a 3-way. That'd be great. Hey, we got some phone calls here, Adam. Let's see if we can play those for it.
Hello, lovey.
Oh dear God.
Hello, fatty.
And I'm calling from my favorite taco truck that has no place to sit. And I just was listening to your most recent little show.
Yes,
and I noticed that this week's show is going to be number
200.
200. Mm-hmm. And I just can't believe it. It seems like you hit 200 years ago. It just feels like, well, never mind. Anyway, I hope it is a joyous occasion and that there are some special chocolate brownies for your 200th.
There was, I'm sure.
Is there going to be cake? I hope that maybe even there's some cake.
Is that your cousin Richard?
thank you for calling. Remember to listen to me.
Okay, great. Keeping up with the...
I want to know what that beep was at the beginning of his call. How did he insert like a sound effect at the beginning of his call?
He's using his Bluetooth in his car, so that's the end of our voicemail playing, basically.
Oh, there's a delay
in the thing. Anyway, thank you, Fatty. I don't know. You know, there's some shows where he hangs up on that do a big production number waiting for him to call back. But not us here. We're a very busy show where we have a lot of phone traffic coming through. Let's go to our next one now. Hello.
Good morning, Dubious Intent. This is Scotty, a little Aussie battler, calling to say happy 200 shows.
Oh, thank you.
What can I say?
Wait.
I really didn't call up.
Wait. You were talking over him. I want you to just rewind it a little bit and listen to the pause that the sound he makes in the pause. You have to turn the volume up, but we should all have a moment
good
of silence
morning,
and listen.
Intent. Where? This is Scotty, a little Aussie battler, calling to You'll say happy 200 shows. What can I say? Well, I nearly didn't call up your stupid show because he didn't allow Reg Grant.
So you think that's him masturbating?
Does he have some like cum in his throat or something? Like what? I mean, what happened there? I don't know. Oh. There's like literally like this flimmy like death rattle.
Well, I nearly didn't call
that
up
he...
your stupid.
Wait, I think I can. I think I can isolate that and play it. Here we go. Let's see. Wow, that's amazing.
It is.
All right, let's listen to his phone.
What can I say? Well, I nearly didn't call up your stupid show because he didn't allow Reg Grundy to be counted as a celebrity death. How can you not include the guy who invented one of the greatest TV shows of all time?
Regimite?
Prisoner, Cell Block H. You're too busy talking over.
What?
Sorry. Just saw something out the window. I'm too busy talking over Artie Cruiser to hear him say that. Also, I nearly didn't call because of all the latest elder abuse by Adam. But anyway,
yes.
I guess I can forgive you. So happy 200 shows, and here's to another few anyway.
Another 12 or so. Thank you, Scotty. I love this in the chat room. There's like, Scotty always sounds like he's hiding in the boys' bathroom of an elementary school.
Thank you, Scotty. You know, I want to really appreciate those calls that we got, you know, congratulating us on 200 because we didn't ask.
We didn't. Yeah, we're not making a big deal.
Like,
yeah, we're not making a big deal of it. I figure we'll make a big deal some other time.
You know, what I want to know, Daniel, is when, at what episode count are we retiring?
Oh, we don't have one.
Like,
it depends. It depends on how the negotiations go on our week off next week. Could be 201, but, we'll see. I don't know.
I think, you know, I have a prediction to make.
What?
I think Dubious Intent will end when one of us dies.
Wow. Do you think we're going to take this to our deathbed?
I think so.
That is so depressing to think of. But all right, let's move on here. And let's next phone call. Oh, hello.
Hello, lovey.
Hey, Fatty. Welcome back.
This is Babs McFlopperlips, and I heard you mention my name on your latest little show.
Yeah.
And it's just lovely that that you could remember my name. It's a little bit unusual, McFlapperlips. You don't hear that every day. Anyway, I was real impressed you could remember it after those delicious brownies. And anyway, I also see that you're having your 200th show coming
yes,
up. And,
yes.
I'm gonna flap on my lips to congratulate you. And anyway, thank you for calling. And just you know, maybe Adam could make me an opening sequence that I could use that highlights my Mac Flapper lips. Thank you for calling.
Can Can you?
Those take entirely too long. I don't think that, you know.
Really? You're not gonna.
I do charge for that though. If you
Is this a new sideline? New sideline business now. You're gonna be making opening no. graphics for people.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's $6 a minute. So whatever.
How is this different than your old job?
Well, I do it with clothes on this time.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
And finally, let's get to our last phone call here and see what this is all about. Yes.
Happy 200 shows to you.
Oh.
Happy 200 shows to you. Happy 200 shows to be at intent. Happy 200 shows to you.
How many of them are there?
This is Auntie Vera Charles and Gooch Charles. And you suck.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Happy anniversary, 200.
Aww.
Your mom was ugly.
Oh, thank you.
How drunk were they when they made that call?
That must have been one of the times. I don't know if you've listened to the most recent Vera speaks, but
yes. It's like,
they're apparently dieting again during the week. But I would wager to guess that was recorded on a weekend.
That was probably a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday night. That's according to the new
But thank you guys. That's so sweet. Although I want to say Gooch has a really high singing voice. I thought there was a woman back there behind.
He was.
Auntie
he kept
Vera
going up
singing.
And then he would go down. And it was he was all over the bar. I thought there was like more people there. But yes, thank you guys. That was. Thank you so much, Auntie Vera Charles and Gooch. Did I sound like Vera when I said that? Thank you so much, Auntie Vera Charles. It's like when he thanks people and he gets really staccato about it. It's like
he'll say,
"Thank you so much, my
say,
Gooch
you,
lovey.
You are a precious, precious man."
I didn't get in trouble for
and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, lovey.
Thank you so much.
It's just
Carol with an E. Anyway, yeah, so those are our...
Thank you, guys. That's comment. Wonderful.
Thank you there so much. If you didn't call in for our 200, that's fine. We didn't really say anything.
It's so much more special.
Yeah.
It's so much more special when we don't have to ask. We just get calls, like, congratulating us.
I know. What's that all about? It's amazing.
It's great. So. We have the best listeners in all of Pride 48 land.
We do, except for the ones that aren't. But here's the thing, Adam, is we have a thing coming up. I don't know if you know about it. I'm going to sneeze, so I'm going to mute real quick.
I'm not sure what the thing is, unless you're going to say that we are. Oh, you're going to talk about the the June weekend.
That's right, Adam. That thing.
Yeah. Are we going to? By the way, are we going to do a? I hate to have a suits meeting right here on Dubious Intent, but are we planning on having a State of the Station broadcast before that happens?
We can.
Or
we absolutely can if that's something that we want to do. But here's the thing: is we're going to have June. The weekend of June 17th, so 17th through the 19th, that's Father's Day weekend in June. Join us here on Pride 48 for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as we podcast all weekend long. All of your favorite podcasts, well, not all of them, but a lot of your favorite podcasts will be streaming live that weekend. And if you want to send an email to your favorite LGBT-friendly podcast and say, hey, if you haven't sent in your request to be a part of that weekend, make sure you do. It's absolutely free for any LGBT podcast that wants to participate. We will help you set up your equipment. We'll help you do it. But if you would like to listen to some great LGBT podcasting and hear some things that you don't normally hear, it is a wonderful
turn
event.
Turn over to rainbowradio.com.
bathhouse music.
Oh, can I say one other thing?
Yes.
I just want to throw this out there because this is kind of my way of making myself do it, but I'm going to send out an email because I think the June event would be a good time to kind of make this happen or somewhere around the June event. I am going to create attempt to create a Pride 48, what do they call it on iTunes, a network thing for Pride 48. So if anybody, and I'll send out an email to all of the shows that we have emails for that are on the list. But if you are interested, and all it would do, you'd keep the same exact feed that you have now. It would not affect you at all. But if anyone searched for anything Pride 48 related on iTunes, they would get a page that lists all of the Pride 48 shows.
So now 5 years after iTunes is completely irrelevant, we're going to have our own network page. But yes, I get what you're saying.
Well, we're
going
to do it. I mean, people still search iTunes, but we'll also, if there are any other places that do that, like if Stitcher does that, we'll look at doing that. But anyway, so I'm going to email them. But if you do have an interest in being on that, because I'm not going to list you unless you want to be, please email me, adam@pride48.com, and let me know. But I'll also be sending out an email.
Just send out an email because not everyone listens to our show, and that's really not.
No, I'm going to send out an email. I'm just letting people know. So that is something we'll do, and we'll try to make that happen around
the June. You interrupted my announcement to say that? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, June 17th through the 19th here on Pride 48. It's a great event. We love the event. It's an amazing event. I believe hosting the event this year is Big Fatty. Big Fatty is hosting the event this year, so that's rare. That's not something that happens. And I think what we're going to do is, because we're not doing Vegas this year, we're actually going to do a skit on the opening show for that one, so you'll get to hear this year's skit, because we've done one every year. So I don't know why you gag and we do them every year. Anyway, here's the thing is that's great. That's coming up. And we will not be here next week. We'll go ahead and pre-tell you that we won't be here the week of July 4th. We'll tell you that again some other time.
And there are going to be a couple of weekends in August.
Probably a couple of weekends in August that we won't be here. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Won't be here.
You know what you can do?
What? What can I do, Adam?
Well, if you miss me specifically, you can just listen to previous episodes or... you know, watch some of my video or something, and then you'll just get to listen to the back of Burns.
Dubious Intent is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 229-234-7587, or send us an email, contact at Dubious Intent. By the way, is our email working?
I'm just looking in a different format. Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah, contact at dubiousintent.com. That's what you need to do. Adam, thank you so much for being here. It's been a great 200 shows, and now that we're retiring...
Daddy, you're being passive-aggressive again. Stop it.
It's almost as if I was giving out, you know, room decor advice.
No, it's been...
That's just me being shady. That was a horrible joke. Yeah.
I have enjoyed every bit of the last 200 episodes and hope we go to 3,000, like Big Fatty.
There you go. And he does them daily, so us being 3,000, it really would be our death. But that sounds...
We'll be 200 years old.
Good night, Chet.
Good night, David.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at Pride48.com.